everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And I am your host, the Admirable Admiral, and we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist, and you're probably wondering, wait, but it's just you talking. Yes, it is just me talking, but I can assure you, on this amazing, rainy afternoon, not usually when we record, the Honorable Tesla and the Fantastimus Frida are just nestled together in a blanket, cuddling each other for warmth, because the Buttmeister is here to talk about sudden death. How's it going, buddy?
Hi, Admiral, and hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the things we love, and this week we're doing Die Hard but in a hockey arena. We did Die Hard a few episodes ago, I think sometime last year, right around the same time that we decided as a podcast that we were going to try actively to be a little more PG. And we did that at the same time as recording Die Hard. That is one of the more difficult things in my life, but you bet I'm putting it on my resume. And today we're talking about, like I said, Die Hard but a hockey arena. But it's Jean-Claude Van Damme instead of Bruce Willis.
JCVD.
Which is also the second Jean-Claude Van Damme movie I think we've recorded within 6 months. Right, Admiral?
Whoa. Okay, cool. So, hold on. So you're saying two different things. So Die Hard wasn't a few weeks ago. Die Hard was over a year ago.
I'm pretty
sure it was farther than that. I'm pretty sure...
With Dr. Almond Kringle.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it might have been farther than that. I think it might have been 2 years ago.
It was the last time you were in town. It was the last time we were in the same video store.
No.
Which I think was about this time last year.
No. I thought that was RoboCop that we decided to go... RoboCop is when we decided to...
Email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com to tell us which one of us is right. You can probably find out by going back in the Cinema Gems backlog on lowbrainpictures.com or Apple iTunes, wherever we're listening.
Die Hard, episode 426. Yeah. That is...
Was I right?
That's 1988. That was when... Because we did Jurassic Park, and then we did Die Hard. So we had Dr. Almond Kringle on twice in a week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, no. This is when I was in Florida. So this is not this past holiday season, but the holiday season before.
Okay.
So yeah, so 2 years.
More than a year ago, still. Yeah, we're doing this one because it's an anniversary, because that's the thing we've kind of been doing.
30 years!
I'm also standing by the fact, because it ties into directly to this movie, that this is the second Jean-Claude Van Damme movie we've done in, I think, about 6 months, because didn't we do Time Cop last year?
We did Time Cop toward the end of the year or the beginning, somewhere in the spring or the summer. But yeah, no, I agree with you. That one we did specifically because it was also an anniversary, but... It had to do with the presidency, so we were like, oh, hey, we're going to make jokes about it. And then we're like, wow, I can't believe we joked about it.
I wanted to bring up the director, Peter Hyams, same director for Sudden Death as Time Cop.
Yes, and they actually did, and Hamas and Van Damme actually did another one in 2013 called Enemies Close.
Yep.
So they did their trilogy together.
A little insane, and I feel like, are we signing up to do the third one?
I would love to be in a room with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I would love it.
I just meant to review it, but you actually want to like be in the room.
I want to be in the room where it happened with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So... Hopefully, you more or less know what you can form a good mental picture without us having to describe beat for beat the plot of this movie. When we say Die Hard, but in a hockey arena, but with Jean-Claude Van Damme, directed by the same guy who did Time Cop. Like, take that equation and visualize it in your head. There, that's the movie.
All right. So, it is during the final game of the Stanley Cup. So, this is Game 7. Stanley Cup, right? Correct?
Yep. Cool. Supposedly. I don't know a whole lot of hockey, but go on.
So this is a rematch from the 1992 Stanley Cup between Pittsburgh and Chicago.
Okay.
And this was filmed, I think, during 94, which they had a... I'm pretty sure that they were... They did a strike. The hockey team did a strike during the 95 or 94 season. So they did a strike. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, sure, that's fine. So I thought that was good that they actually filmed, like, realistically, like, they actually got that sports arena, which, by the way, so that sports arena, so it's not there anymore. It's called the Pittsburgh Civic Center, and the way it's constructed, I find this very interesting. The way it's constructed, there's no poles in the way of any seats to obstruct a seat, so everyone gets the same view. So I thought that was really nice. I thought that was really cool. But the other funny thing I found out was, but Maestro, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins, correct?
Right, thank you. I was going crazy. Did they change their mascot at some point?
No, no, no. It's still the Pittsburgh Penguin. But the old Civic Center, I don't know. I don't know currently. I couldn't find any information online. But you know how in New Orleans they have the Smoothie King Center? They call it the Blender, right? As a joke.
Right, right.
Right. In Pittsburgh, they called the old Civic Center the Igloo for the Penguin.
Okay. I guess that tracks.
Also, apparently... poor Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm just gonna say that. Oh, yeah, yeah. This film was shot during the NHL lockout during 1994 and 1995, which was resolved that year later. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, and Bruce Willis was considered the role for Darren, but
Bruce Willis would have been too on the nose.
You know what's funny? This movie came out the same, I think, month as Die Hard 3.
Wow. So this movie starts with...
Hold on 1 second.
Go on.
So Schwarzenegger turned it down because he was doing True Lies and Junior. Stallone turned it down because the script was bad. And Willis turned it down because he was working on Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, no, that tracks.
Okay. I'm so sorry, but Maestro, what were you saying?
I was just going to start to get into the plot of this movie, because there's not a whole lot of plot to talk about. The only things that make it really different from Die Hard is the fact that the main character is not currently a cop. He is a former firefighter, but now promoted to fire marshal. Darren McCord, a French-Canadian-born firefighter, gets completely traumatized when a girl somehow dies in his arms. But he doesn't, even though he's the one get crushed by the rubble. I have questions about that incident and how they expected it to make sense, but I don't think they're going to have answers. Anyway, the girl dies. He's traumatized for life and, I guess, promotes himself or gets promoted to fire marshal so he can actually stay out of the fires and not relive the trauma. And is, by the way, also a divorced dad of two kids, one of whom loves him very much. The other has some issues. But we've talked before on this show about different movies, especially action movies in the 80s and 90s, bad portrayals of kids of divorced parents being very one-dimensional. And of course, that being the case, you have to have the one kid that resents their parent for not being there because they're incapable of understanding the nuance of the situation. He's doing his best. He gets them tickets for a hockey game, takes them to a hockey game where... like the Admiral said, it's the finals. It's a big, big, big game. Lots of important people are going to be there. And a former Secret Service member or potentially current Secret Service member who's been disillusioned by his job puts together a team of crooks, infiltrates the thing, and gets to the box seats of the vice president who is in attendance of this game.
Yes, the vice president is at Game 7 in Pittsburgh.
And I think his plan was to... use the vice president and the other important people in that room to leverage as a hostage situation a whole lot of money.
Yeah, but then he wants to, because some of the money's going to get tracked, but $50 million won't get tracked out of $250 million. But he wants is $50 million. And I love how he keeps joking. By the way, this is Powers Booth. And if you're probably wondering, wait, who's Powers Booth? Look, if you've seen Sin City, he's Senator Cork. And also, if you've seen Avengers, the original one, he's one of the world...
He's on the World Security Council. He's one of the people telling Tony Stark, no, don't go after the nuke. And he's like, no, I'm going to go after the nuke. Your decision's
Nick
dumb.
Nick Fury, not Tony Stark.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So... He's an all-American, and I love how even the vice president goes, when did you serve? And he goes, do you not think I'm serving now? I'm on vacation. I'm just like, we don't know anything about Powers Booth in this movie. We don't know anything.
They keep this character intentionally vague, which unfortunately kind of defeats the, like, every time there's a villain portrayed like this who is putting together this kind of sting against powerful people, they have the opportunity to make those characters relatable and sympathetic. And they almost went with the opportunity to make this character, Powers Booth's character, sympathetic in this movie. Because I think at one point he does kind of hint, like, I work for this country and the things it's made me do for big air quotes freedom has me pretty pissed off and delusioned. So I want to take this country's money and do the Robin Hood thing. But he was so vague about that and killed probably too many people to justify that cause in the process that I'm like, no, you lost me. You tried to make the villain sympathetic and then you just went too far off the other end making this a Thin Blue Line movie.
Okay. See, I actually think that this movie works because of Powers Booth. Like, he brings...
Agreed.
Okay, cool. As long as you agree, the gravitas for this movie that he's in, that is literally a B action movie. This is a B.
I just wish he was given a better script.
Correct. Maybe that's why Sylvester Stallone turned it down. He's like, no, I'm good. Oh, wait.
For Sylvester Stallone to turn down your movie because the script is shallow, that's something.
Let's be honest. Be like, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. So, we're not here to talk about Sylvester Stallone. Okay, so, sudden death. So, there are 13 or 14 bombs set across the Pittsburgh Civic Arena. In the movie, sudden death. I want to make sure that nobody cuts anything out or something. The context is the thing. So, Jean-Claude Van Damme goes around and gets it. By the way, his last name is McCord, and he's French.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Weird little detail. They could have maybe caught and corrected at a certain point.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a name by marriage. Who knows?
Maybe. I told the Bud Maestro this before we started recording, that whenever I watch a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, I always love to see how they shoehorn in why he has a French accent. And in this one, he's Canadian.
They give him a chance to speak French with someone else.
Right. Right, which I thought was great because it was so flawlessly perfect. But he's actually from Brussels. Belgium. Brussels in Belgium. Which a lot of people make a joke that's not a real country, but hey, look, it's a country. So that's all that matters. And I've been to Brussels. I know I said this in the Time Cop 1. It was nice to be in a city that Jean-Claude Van Damme grew up in. Fortunately, wasn't able to see a statue. But hey, at least I walked around the city that he grew up in. And also, they were filming a movie somewhere around us. So my thought process was, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the same city that I was in while he was filming a movie. That's just what I thought. I know it's probably not true. But it would be nice to be JVCD. You rock, bro.
So
you rock.
So Powers Booth has his hostages. Jean-Claude Van Damme is going around the arena stealthily disarming these bombs as they're about to be triggered and blown up. They are unsuccessfully done so. He's also going around taking out henchmen and in the process bumps into the Secret Service agent that has been monitoring the situation and has been dealing directly with Powers Booth, and turns out has agreed to work with Powers Booth and take a cut of it. And so they meet, Jean-Claude Van Damme and that Secret Service agent meet, and they eventually fight. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, and he gets him with the lighter fluid in the squirt gun that his son had.
What is your favorite improvised weapon that Jean-Claude Van Damme uses in this movie? Because I think I love the pressure hose with the nail. In this movie? Like, it's only good for one shot, but it's so goofy.
The pressure hose I like. I like it. I don't know if I like the glass bomb better.
Ooh.
Because that was alcohol in it, but I don't know what powder was put in there.
I'm willing to bet that the movie was purposely vague about that. In the same way that there is a Mythbusters episode that will never see the light of day because they used household ingredients to create something very explosive and all agreed across the board, let's not tell people what we did and how we got here.
Yeah. So it probably is the same contents as that. But I kind of like the squirt gun with the lighter fluid in it. But I don't know. It's a toss-up between that and the glass bomb. I don't know.
I don't know how this dude has the time to MacGyver so many insane weapons throughout the course of this movie while he's also going around the arena disarming bombs. I want to real quick talk about what the direction I kind of thought this movie was going. And it did not go in this direction. But I watched this movie with GLaDOS, and about 30 minutes into it, we were both kind of hoping that this would be a Richard Jewell situation. And if you don't know who Richard Jewell is, let me give you the quick TLDR. At the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta, he was a security guard who alerted police to a backpack containing pipe bombs. The media suspected him of planting the bomb and blasted his name and face everywhere. Even though he just saved thousands of people, he got put on the FBI Most Wanted list. His life was ruined on a very, very public stage. His life was ruined even though he did the right thing. That's kind of where I hope this movie was going, where someone who seemed to be right place, right time, ended up, oh no, it's all being pinned on me. Especially with Powers Booth's character being portrayed as so smart and 10 steps ahead of everyone else involved. I was kind of thinking, oh, Powers Booth is going to find a way to pin this on the guy that stopped it. No. Powers Booth tries to get away in a helicopter and then it backs its butt straight down into the hockey arena. Thankfully, everyone got evacuated beforehand.
Which I have things about that to say, but before that, did you know that the kid in Tyler in this one, his son?
Yeah.
Did you know that's the same kid from Sleepless in Seattle? Jonah?
Okay, I thought I recognized him.
Cool. So did I. I was like, I know that kid before. Yeah, no, that's who, he's Jonah in Sleepless in Seattle. Tom Hanks' kid, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. For a lot of people that don't know, why are we only talking about movies that we've recorded or talked about? It's because in Cinema Gems lore, that's the only movies we know is that. That is our lore. I don't know.
Sometimes we don't even know those.
Exactly. But, okay. All right. So
our brains, like my Google Drive, have very limited space that occasionally need to be cleaned out.
Exactly. I agree.
This one isn't going to be on the brain for very long, though, I promise.
Aww, but it's sudden death, man. Okay.
It was fun.
So let's get to the third period. Okay.
The third act.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is running around. By the way, he doesn't beat anybody up for until 37 minutes in. Then he's like, "Oh, I have to go kick these people. I have to go kick."
Yeah, that's when this firefighter suddenly magically knows ballet kung fu.
You don't mess with Jean-Claude Van Damme, okay?
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying he has a very unique style of martial arts that is mostly ballet and a little bit of karate.
Yeah. I love when he kicks the guy from, 3 feet away when he uses the glass bomb and he just gets in and just kicks him. And Patron's like, hey, there's your kick that you wanted. There's your kick. Okay, so he's running around, running away from all the henchmen. So he decides to take on the goalie uniform because, oh, supposedly he did his best in amateur Canadian hockey a long time ago. So he hides in the goalie outfit and actually saves a goal.
Yeah, like goes out on the court, subs in the guy that was like getting sick.
Ice.
Which, hey, court. That lucked out.
But Maestro goes out on the ice, not court. Ice
field, whatever. Sports thing.
Ice. No, but he does a really good job. I mean, he's kind of believable in it, but I mean, I'm like, dude, how long ago was that? And you're going up against NHL professionals? Like,
yeah, you're about to get your butt whooped.
So then heads back.
The fact that he could stand up after falling on his butt on the ice that hard so many times. Wow, nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, and then he, which I didn't mind that they showed his son reacting to the I love you in sign language, but I would also have preferred to see his daughter react or like hide her reaction because she taught him that in sign language.
Yeah, but the son was also there for it, so it would stand to reason that the son would remember that.
Which, at my perspective of that is, was his son like, oh my god, that goalie loves me, or like, oh wait, is that my dad?
Right.
So his daughter's going around stamping all of his friends at work. Yep. She accidentally stamps Powers Booth on his hand. By the way, what was your favorite kill from Jean-Claude Van Damme? Was it the choking of the penguin, or what was it?
I'm not going to say the penguin because I don't love that he killed a woman. I think I'm still going to stick with, it's going to be the same as my favorite improvised weapon in this movie. It's going to be the pressurized air tube with the nail.
360 no scope,
it's so
bro.
Janky. Because it's so janky.
Okay.
And it should not work.
No, it shouldn't. But it works really well. It works really well.
Exactly when he needs it to. I also want to mention this is one of those action movies where for the sake of brevity, I'm going to call it unlimited ammo cheat code. But what it really is in these action movies, it's not just unlimited ammo. It is unlimited ammo until dramatically necessary.
Yeah, I would agree.
Everyone's guns, including but not limited to Jean-Claude Van Damme's guns, all have unlimited ammo until it is dramatically appropriate for them to run out.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah. So
when I mentioned the unlimited ammo cheat in action movies, that's really what I mean. That's definitely on. He's also very much covered by plot armor, which I think is the only explanation for how the girl died in the beginning in the fire and he didn't.
Literally, he used his own suit as plot armor to get through that.
Yes, 100%.
So, sudden death happens, which, if you've never been to a hockey game, sudden death is amazing because it's scored at the well, it's not scored at the last minute, but it's basically similar to overtime, but first team to score wins it.
Wins. Yeah. First blood.
So we go, by the way, these two commentators the entire time are great, and when stuff starts to explode, they just dip on out. They're just like,
yep, as would I. Which,
by the way, but my shirt,
like, nope, not getting paid for this.
Which, by the way, but my shirt, I want that to be us at that age talking about movies.
Oh God! All right, I'm down.
But in a sports arena,
you heard it, Cinemaniacs. Find a way to get our voices in a sports arena.
I got you, lulz. Bro. I got you. I'll find a way. Life finds a way. So,
oh God.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme starts kicking butt, taking names, and lights people on fire. What the Secret Service agent is the one he lights on fire, and he comes back later all melted, which is really yes. Cool effect. I really like that effect. I thought that was a good look.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
Throws the glass jar into the vice presidential booth. Powers Booth. Whoa. So, then Vice President gets away, Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks people out, saves his daughter, and then we get to a point in the movie where I'm just like, okay, how much longer do we have? So he So he goes back to the arena where everything's blowing up and everybody's leaving, running away. His son, Tyler, stays there. And he goes, I didn't move for a sec, Dad. I didn't move. So I turn to Patron and I go, and you wonder why during... Because there's a hockey team around here called the Orlando Solar Bears that Patron and I go to once a season, twice a season if we can.
Okay.
So... whenever we go anywhere, I stay at our seats. And Patron's like, why do you stay at your seats? And I was like, don't worry about it. When this happens, I just look at her. I was like, that's why. Because Jean-Claude Van Damme told me, stay at my seat. And she just gives me a look like, oh, dear. Really? Really? That's the look she gave me. You know that look, but my show. You know that.
Okay, I just figured out where I know Raymond J. Barry from. Raymond J. Barry, of course, plays the vice president in this movie, and I finally figured out how I know his stupid face. And it's from Flubber.
Yeah.
He's Chester Honecker.
Yeah.
He's the main bad guy in Flubber. He's Will Wheaton's dad.
I did like that Raymond Barry was very active, going to be like, hey, if you kill her, you're going to have to go through me. And I love that Powers Booth is like, he's just campaigning.
Yeah. Again, this movie was so it almost went all the way with making this character, with making Powers Booth's character relatable in some way. But no, it needed us to keep rooting for Jean-Claude Van Damme and the vice president and all the people in that stadium. All
right. So speaking of Powers Booth has a stamp on his hand. They get Tyler, they go see one of the Secret Service men, and one of the Secret Service men is like, hey, the vice president wants to talk to you. He's very glad for you. Blah, blah, and his daughter walks off. Daddy, that's the man. Daddy, that's the man. The man sees his daughter, grabs him. Jean-Claude Van Damme says to the Secret Service man, watch my son, and goes off. Excuse me, the Secret Service is right here. Just tell him who that is. Just tell the Secret Service.
That is one of a handful of very obvious mistakes that this character makes in this movie. But that kind of humanizes him to an extent, I guess.
I got you. Go upstairs, and Powers Booth is like, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot your daughter, because then you're going to remember me forever. Goes to shoot his daughter. Jean-Claude Van Damme jumps in the way, of course, obviously, gets shot. Climbs up on the ladder that's thrown down by the helicopter. Takes, I guess that's an Uzi that he has? I'm assuming?
An Uzi or a MAC-10, yeah.
Right. So he takes it, shoots it up. The helicopter pilot grabs the stick and pulls it toward him, meaning that the helicopter's going backwards. Me and the Bub Maestro had a discussion with this off air. He thought it nosedived.
You were correct. It did back that thing up.
Correct. Okay, my problem is, how did the blades go through the roof?
I was also expecting it to absolutely shred that roof and everything around it. Like, nothing was safe.
But falls down dramatically, everything. I also really like the shot of his daughter's glasses with the explosion in the background of her glasses.
That's
like,
pretty great, yeah.
I thought that was a cool shot. And then I can assure you that I think this is Patron's favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, because she called the ending. Like, when he gets in the ambulance, she's just like, oh, the movie ends. And then it ends, and she's like, I could have wrote this! I could write this! Yeah! So, I think that this is Patron's favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I think so.
Okay.
So, do you want to talk about the music before we go any further about Maestro?
Music was done by John Debney, who has a extensive filmography of things that he's worked on, including but not limited to Hocus Pocus, Little Giants, Runaway Brain, Cutthroat Island. He's also... Inspector Gadget, Adventures of Elmo and Crouchland. He's still composing to this day. He's done a bunch of Gary Marshall films, including Princess Diaries. He's done a bunch of work for Paramount and Nickelodeon, Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. He's also done a ton of work for TV. He's done episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Next Generation. While not being super in the spotlight of the most influential film score composers out there, he's done the work. He's done a lot of work. You have heard his work at some point.
Wow, he did Scorpion King?
He did Zathura. He did Cheaper by the Dozen 1 and 2. He did Spider-Man 3.
End of Days? He did Liar Liar?
He's one of the one of those composers that comes in for a series that was being composed by someone bigger like Zimmer or Williams, and then they keep doing too many sequels and they're like, we need someone slightly cheaper but still good, and he's like, I'm your man.
Oh wow, he did the fanfare for Wish Upon a Star for the Walt Disney Pictures logo from 1985 to 2006. So he's the wah 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 wah, that's him, right?
Probably.
Wow. Oh, and he also did Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
Young Sheldon. He's done a bunch of work. I liked his work for this movie. It was perfectly action movie themed. It was just right.
All
right.
So, but Maestro.
What you got?
Before we go any further, we need to thank Marty and the Aragon Observer for allowing us to be on their website, lowrandpictures.com. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. But Maestro, I want you to tell me and also the listeners about our rating system here on Cinema
Gems. Of course, can do. Here on Cinema Gems, we have a very simple little rating system. Whole gem, amazing movie, loved it. Half gem, it's just all right. Maybe a fun time with some slight inebriation involved. No gem, don't even waste your time with it. Admiral, where would you put this?
Solid half gem. Cross the board.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Literally, it is... This is a... If you look up a B action movie in the dictionary, the picture of Sudden Death, which, by the way, the Buttmeister loves the poster. By the way, it's edited. So you have terror goes into overtime, correct?
Right.
So on some of the internet posters, it says action goes into overtime. They changed it, man. They changed it, bro.
I think this is the action movie that every action spoof movie is spoofing.
I could see that.
I think Time Cop is up there too, with action movies being spoofed. But yeah, I think this is the action movie that when you're making a spoof action movie, this is what you're spoofing.
So,
because so many things in this movie are so over the top and ridiculous and improbable, but they're just fun to watch.
So out of the...
It's a fun watch. It doesn't make sense, but it's fun.
Out of the two Jean-Claude Van Damme movies we've reviewed... Hey guys, so this is the Admiral. Actually, this is the third Jean-Claude Van Damme movie we've done. We've done Street Fighter, Time Cop, and then Sudden Death. And yes, guys, in the background, you do hear Sudden Death playing. Bye, guys. Back to the show. Which one do you like more?
I know you're going to disagree, but I'm with Time Cop on this one.
That's fine. Look, I like Time Cop. I do. I also...
I like it a lot too. It's really absurd.
I like Sudden Death a lot, mainly because I couldn't really watch Die Hard a lot as a kid, but I could watch Sudden Death.
Okay.
Like,
that's fair.
Because it's hockey related, so my grandma could get around and be like, "Yeah, you can watch a hockey game. It's a hockey movie." Like,
I think I'm still going to give the edge to Time Cop only because, like I mentioned before the show to you, I just loved whoever came up with the idea of, let's put Jean-Claude Van Damme in a situation where he has to talk to his past or future self.
Right. So that is his highest grossing movie, and this is his second highest grossing movie, I believe. Okay. I know, Tesla. I understand. The Honorable Tesla's making me do this, guys. Just letting y'all know. The release date for Sudden Death was December 22nd, 1995. It's about 110 minutes. It could have been 10 to 15 minutes shorter. That's just me. I don't know how you feel about Maestro.
I think it was just right.
Okay. The budget was $35 million. That's actually not bad for a movie from the mid-90s, you know. But the box office was a measly just under $65 million. They almost doubled it, but as we know in the film business, that's kind of a flop. It's not the best movie ever, but it did its job. It was going to have a sequel, but when the reviews came back, they were like, all right, we're canceled it. But yeah, this movie was supposed to have a sequel. And I wanted Jean-Claude Van Damme to be the fire marshal at different sports arenas. Like, I would have loved that to just be it. That's just his character, but that's besides the point. But Maestro, is there anything else you want to say about the movie before we head out?
I'm good about talking about this movie. Like I said, I enjoyed it. It's a fun dumb time. But as always, I have to thank our Cinemaniacs and Swapper Jack's friends and family for everything I'll do to support the show. when we say support the show, it has a different meaning than your typical podcasters and YouTubers, because we don't have a Patreon or anything like that. We don't have a way you can financially support the show yet, because we do this for free. The equipment we use this show for, we got it for ourselves to have fun with. We do the show to as our weekly therapy. But you can support the show by emailing at cinemagems15, that's a 15 in there, at gmail.com, and let us know what kind of movies you want to hear us talk about. You can also support us by going to lowrainpictures.com, lowrainpictures.com, to see our whole backlog, as well as over on the Year 30 tab. They're the ones that run the website, and they're awesome. Thank you all for doing that.
The other question I have for you, Brutmeister, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but remember when his daughter hung out with Iceberg, the penguin, right?
Right.
And then the woman terrorist ended up killing her? Not his daughter, the person in the penguin outfit. Her name was Joan. When he grabbed Joan and was reacting to it, do you think they had a thing? Or is that just the vibe that I got?
I think that's in your head, Admiral.
Okay, cool. Cause like,
I don't think the movie was planning that at all.
Because the way he reacted, I was like, whoa. Like,
I think she might have a thing. She might have had a thing for him. Oh, because, hot single dad. Who also is like really far in his career, but isn't currently tied down by a wife. Hubba hubba. Maybe there was something like she was attracted to him and was trying to make more of it, and he's just focused on his children.
I could see that. Okay,
that's kind of how I read that, I think.
No, that's actually more believable than the other thing that I thought. Thank you, Putmeister. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy. Thank you for saying I was.
You're all good.
So, guys, we just want to make sure that you're taking time for yourself before you can help others. Remember to relax, to detox, to do anything for yourself to help better yourself as a person before you talk to a human being. Go on a bike ride. Watch a movie you like.
Touch grass.
Yeah, go on a walk. Like, do something that you find enjoyment that you don't want to tell anybody else you do. Like, it's your personal time. It's whatever you want to do.
Can we wrap up the show, Admiral, please?
Yes. And also, guys, we just want to make sure that you remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter.
Always.
Bye, guys.
Love y'all.
See you.
Stay out of trouble.
In the next one.